Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. All right, friends, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for week two with Natalie Runyon. If you missed last week, go back and listen. This week, we are continuing our conversation, and we are talking about the challenges we have as women and getting along and supporting each other and building each other up. And this week, we are addressing some of the lies that she covers in her book, some of the lies like women are so emotional or women are drama queens, those kind of lies and how those separate us from each other. And also, how do we raise sweet and kind girls? We're hitting on that a little bit more. And what I really, really love is at the end, we're talking about reconciliation and how do we forgive each other and move on so that we can get about the kingdom business that we're called to be a part of. And so I'm just so thankful for this conversation. I told you this last week, it was an awkward cutoff because I took one long conversation and cut it in half. So it's digestible in 2 weeks. And so when it starts, you're going to be like, whoa, it seems like it's the middle of a conversation. And that's because it is. And so if you missed part one, go back and catch it. But we are going to continue on with Natalie Runyon. So again, the title of her book is I Don't Even Like Women. Here we go with Natalie. So how do we, and I want to get to in just a second, a couple of the lies. I mean, you cover so many great ones in the book. How do we help our kids with this? Like our daughters, I'm sure you know Sissy Goff and David Thomas out of Nashville raising boys and girls, but Sissy Goff said recently, and they're the most encouraging, lovely, amazing counselors you're ever going to meet. And she said something that I was kind of taken aback by. And she said, girls are meaner than they've ever been. And to hear out of her mouth, because she's so positive and precious and loves the Lord and is so for our kids and us as moms. And I asked her about that again. I'm like, really? And she's like, oh, absolutely. And we were talking out some of that, is that some of that social media. And I was asking questions. She goes, it's because the moms are mean too. And yes. I was like, yeah, good word on that, right? Like, and all this to your point. But someone that's listening that maybe is not fighting the battle of, you know, can I get on this platform, this stage, or is someone else going to tell me I'm not good enough? But they're just day in and day out trying to raise kind, sweet daughters that support other women. Any thoughts and tips on that?
Listen, I am learning that my kids watch everything and they hear everything. They are watching how I treat my friends, or watching how I talk to people on the phone, how I interact with strangers at the grocery store, other women in my life. They're watching how I honor other women in my life. I also have a ton of women in their lives who are modeling the same thing. And so to remember, we're not alone. Make sure your kids are surrounded with other godly women who will also model what it looks like to be a healthy friend. But for our girls in particular, one thing we've tried to remind them to do is to outlove everyone that they come into contact with, mm-hmm. to outserve, to speak so much kindness over them that it almost doesn't, it's not fake, but that it is just an example after an example, how they speak to their teachers, how they speak to law enforcement, how they speak to their pastors, that really what they're doing is that they are setting the bar for not only how other people should treat other people, but how they want to be treated. And this is a huge point to this, is that we really teach boys and men how to treat us based off how we treat other women. And if men see us bad-mouthing other women, if our guy friends, if our brothers see us as young women bad-mouthing, we're telling them it's okay for you to speak about that way to me. That's okay for you to speak to me this way. And so we've really been encouraging our daughters, just out-love people. And I don't mean like be fake. I'm just saying, if somebody drops a pencil, pick it up. If somebody needs a seat at a table, make room. If somebody needs a friend, be that friend, be what you need. And really what I've noticed with my girls is that as they've done that, Our house has become what I call the island of misfit toys. It is a house full of kids who don't belong. And it's a little bit jarring for me as a girl who grew up in popular culture because I was a mean girl, I have to say. Like, I think for survival, I thought I had to be a mean girl. And to realize that God has healed me from that and that I'm raising kind girls is a whole other redemption arc that I am so grateful for.
It's funny you say that because I tell people all the time I was mean in high school and people are like, there's no way. I'm like, no, there is. And so then I, in my mind, Natalie, I was like, maybe I've like have revisionist history. Maybe I was nice. And I went to a funeral of a longtime pastor that we all, me and a bunch of high school friends, we all grew up under this pastor and he recently passed away. And I went to the funeral and one of the girls wouldn't speak to me. And she like was so, and I was like, oh no, I was a mean girl. Like she's still mad about it. Now listen, does anybody need to be judged by their 16-year-old self? No. But I laughed because I was like, I was kind of a mean girl too. And again, for me, I look back because people say like, why do you think that was? I had the most precious family and parents. And I was like, I think trying to control as much as I could control and keep myself in the right standing that I thought I needed to have to be okay. And I don't know. It's a weird thing. But see, here's two former mean girls, guys. And we're talking about how do we support women? And we're not just talking about it. I'll be the first to say, I will champion you day and night, Natalie. And she sold a billion more books than I'm sold. And we're all good, everyone. It's all good. Like, everyone, just carve out your little place and wherever the Lord wants you. And let's be content with that. And it's just, it's important. So here's when I spoke on friendship the other night, they wanted kind of a how-to. And I said, I'll give a little how-to, but I think we need more of a why-to than we need a how-to. I think that we're ambitious women. We know how to get things done. And if we want the right 401k, we figure out how to do that. And if we want to have a lake house, we figure out how to save for that. And if our kids, you know, if we want them to write college, we know how to help them get the right ACT. If you want friendship, you can figure out how to do that. But you need a why to on that. And I think that's a lot of what we've been speaking to. But you talk about building a sanctuary of sisterhood. And so I would like to hear a why to and a how to, if you have it on that. Sure. For someone listening, it's like, yeah, cut to the chase on this.
Yeah, when people see that word sacred, they're like, what does that word sacred mean? And it really just means a sanctuary or a safetiness or a safe place for friendship. And it is not like it was when we were in high school and college. I'm not talking about building a sorority. I am talking about being a steeple of safety for one woman, for one young girl, one older woman who is like, I need what you carry. And you look at them and you're like, you're right. I need what you carry. And that's the why to. The why to is I don't want to live life together or alone. I want to live life together. So I am going to be committed to finding one or two women to be in my sanctuary of sisterhood. And again, we don't need to be going on girls' trips and spending weekends in Chicago. Those days are gone. We're busy. We're working. We've got kids. I'm talking about the first phone call. I'm talking about the one that you send funny TikToks to. I'm talking about the one you can call up and say, hey, can you pray for me? This thing's happening in our family. That's what we're looking for, is not this like pseudo sisterhood, but we're looking for the sacred. This is the why. I don't want to do life alone. The how is to become committed to community. And how do I become committed to community? I show up in spaces where community is being created for me. That is in churches, small groups, MOPS groups, at the gym, in the carpool line. We, like you said, if we want it, we go for it. And for a lot of us, we have been so insecure and we're thinking, well, nobody's coming to me, therefore I must not be worthy of friendship. No, you're talking about other women who are just as lonely and just as insecure. And one of us is going to have to say, I want this so bad, I'm willing to go and find the community and create what I want and what others need.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think how you show up matters as well. I was just talking to a girl the other day who said, I've got this friend and I watch her on social media and everything's perfect and everything's beautiful. And her kids are above the reading levels. They have much younger kids than you and I do, but high on the reading levels. And I was like, listen, if you want to get kicked in the teeth, talk about your kid's reading level. Nobody gives a rat's behind about what level reader your kindergartner is. So that's my PSA for the day, everybody. But, clearly struck a nerve on my own.
Stop doing it.
Stop it. Do you hate us? We don't care. Nor do we care about the play date they got invited in that our kid didn't. Nor do we care about the birthday party. Like, everyone stop. But she was just saying how it's such a hard relationship because she keeps this pretense of perfection all the time through Instagram, through all the social media, but even in life, and just curating a narrative around her family. And she's like, what do I do with that? And I said, you know, like, listen, aside from the fact that we love the Lord and she loves the Lord and we're all going to spend eternity, that's great. But aside from that, I'm like, you have to be real careful with those friendships. They're difficult because, one, for her, when the fall comes, and it does, everybody, your kids will do something.
They will drink that Coke out of the trash can. They will do it.
Oh, for sure. They will mace. They will mace themselves with their sister's mace. And that was just last week in my house. They will do something. I said, it's a hard fall, but also the other thing is it's hard for that girl because if you can't show up vulnerably and real, then I mean, that's first level killer of friendship. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, obviously today I have an extensions and I'm wearing makeup because I'm on a book tour. But one thing that you will know about me if you follow me on Instagram is that I show up looking like I have just rolled out of bed 9 times out of 10. And part of that is twofold. Number one, I'm lazy and I don't want to put makeup on and put my extensions in every day. But second of all, I want women to see this is reality. I am getting my kids off to school at 6:30 in the morning. I'm trying to just get in some sort of a workout and it's probably just like 20 sit-ups and like maybe I'm gonna drink some protein. But I want for women to see that life is not this perfected curated Pinterest board. It is chaotic. It is messy. I love your whole like idea of just this messiness of life. Like we are messy women just every day putting one foot in front of the other. And some days that's as far as we get. And I think that when we show up to small groups and our hair is in a knot, we're in sweat, we've got a burp cloth over our shoulder, or maybe we're still in our work clothes from the day, we are becoming so much more approachable than if we look like we have woken up like a Stepford wife and that we don't have like any care in the world because everything has just worked out the way that it should. And so I agree, showing up vulnerable, showing up in the messy stuff, coming even when you are gonna cry through the whole thing because your husband lost his job or your kid decided to do something crazy. This is all this vulnerable script that is saying, I don't have it together and I need someone to love me, to pray for me, and to speak life over me. And what that does is it encourages other women then to do the same. And this is a kind of ministry we don't talk enough about, but you do, is the ministry of messiness.
Friends, I am so excited to introduce you to a company that you may not know about. And if you don't, it's time you do, Mr. Penn. All right, I'm talking specifically about Bible journaling supplies, and they have the best on the market. They have everything from journaling kits to journaling Bibles to no-bleed Bible pens and highlighters. And let me tell you something, that's critical, right? If you want to write in your Bible, that's what I love about it. If I want to write in my Bible, take notes, journal, like they have all the things you need in order to write on those thin pages and not have it bleed through. I think that's my favorite thing. But you know what else I love? I love that it was started by a Christian teacher in Louisiana, and they have 100,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Are you kidding me? 100,000. And so they offer custom products for churches, schools, conferences, and you get your money back if you don't like any of the products. And so you guys, seriously, shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market. And remember, they're fantastic gifts for your friends, all the ladies in our lives at MrPen.com. That's where you shop at MrPen.com. That's MRPEN.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Yes, we do. Use the code MESMERIZE10. Again, MESMERIZE10, two S's in MESMERIZE, at checkout to get a 10% discount on your entire order. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I like that. I should write that book. Oh, I did, Natalie. Never mind. Okay, so here's where we are. I'm looking at the table of contents. Nothing screams high quality entertainment like me reading the table of contents on a podcast. But here we are, everybody. But I love that you have these lies. And I'm going to read you a couple of them, everybody. Women are so mean. Women are such drama queens. Women are so insecure. Women are so jealous. Women are so emotional. Women are so catty. Sorry, my contacts aren't in. I'm dealing with glasses here, everybody. Women are so controlling. Women are so competitive. Women belong in the, like you said earlier, like fill in the blank where we're going to put them. Talk to us about one of these lies that you go through. Like maybe is there one that really resonated as you wrote it that, or you've lived? Which one that would you speak into for us?
I think the two that kind of go hand in hand are women are so emotional and women are such drama queens, because I can remember growing up and having things said to me like, oh, you're so loud. You're so dramatic. You are such an extrovert. You know, you're too much. Can't you just dial it back a little bit? And other women have been told, you know, you're too quiet, you're too shy, you're so introverted. And so we have these things spoken over us. And then the drama queen label is actually really detrimental for a lot of women who are just trying to narrate their own life. They're just trying to figure out what is happening. They haven't been heard. They haven't had parents that listen to them. And so even having teenage girls myself and having a lot of teenage girls coming through my home, what I've really tried to do is to validate emotions, not to sympathize to the point of enabling, but to really listen to what is being said through my own girls, through their friends, and saying, oh, wait a minute, we're all a little drama and we're all a little queen, but let's get to the crux of what that's about. This woman, this young woman doesn't have a mom. Oh, this young girl has gone through an abusive situation. Oh, this young girl was raped by her boyfriend. Let's really take a step back and stop just saying you're too emotional, you're too this, you're too that, you're not enough this, not enough that. And let's actually lean in and learn to listen to each other and to be part of this. And as a woman in ministry, look, I've sat in staff meetings crying because my heart is broken over things that I'm seeing, and I'm too emotional as a woman. But yet if a man raises his voice, he's passionate and he's strong and he's to be commended. And so really even challenging male pastors to say, look, male leaders, when you have a woman in the room, she's not too emotional. She's wired by the Father to emote in a different way that is still courageous, still bold, still beautiful, and to also have some emotional IQ to know when we as women need to rope it in and be able to operate in emotional intelligence. And so there's a lot of that in the book where I'm just talking to women, like it's okay to be emotional, but also to understand how that affects other people. Yeah. And how we can really learn through healthy female friendships to regulate emotions, to not be negative, but to be impactful.
Yeah, yeah. And to your point, digging a little deeper on what's going on behind people's story. I always think back to like how in Jesus' time, if there was a leper, they would have to yell leper before they approach people. And I thought, I always say like, it would be so much easier if the people approaching us would yell out like, I'm gossip or addicted or alcoholic or a divorcee or whatever your thing is, because like, wouldn't we approach people so much more differently if we knew? And so I think that the goal here for ourselves and our kiddos, our daughters, especially, just assume they're not yelling it out, but it's there. And so you have the opportunity to dig a little deeper and help with the healing, or you can just, you know, pour salt on the wound and act like, well, how was I to know that? Well, let Natalie and I be the ones to tell you. Now you know. We don't know exactly what it is that she, whoever your she is facing, but we know it's something. And so you should know, we should know, because we all struggle with spiritual paralysis. We all struggle with the things that keep us from doing the God-given callings in our lives. And so I love that you're saying, like, you got to dig a little deeper. Assume there's something going on there. Figure out what it is, and then how can we be a part of that solution rather than pain?
And also, it's not an excuse. Like, look, we all have trauma. We all have things that have happened to us, but it's also not an excuse to mistreat people. It's not an excuse to sabotage people. It's not an excuse to gossip about people. And so deal with your junk, women. Like, go to counseling. I am like chief offender. I have had counseling. I have had spiritual direction. Like, a lot of us say we don't want friendship, but really at the end of the day, we don't want to do the work on ourselves. And how do I know this? Because I've had literal women drop into my comment section and say, I'm tired of working on myself. And it's like, life is a constant laying our lives before the altar of the Lord and saying, search my heart, O Lord, do a new thing in me, turn my ashes into beauty. All of these are transformational moments where we have to work on ourselves. So we are going to have to be continually doing spiritual hard work on our own lives if we are going to be the safe, sacred sisters that we are also looking for. So do the hard work. Because otherwise we're going to be alone. And I hate to say it that bluntly, but if you're a mean woman, you're going to be a mean old woman. And then you're going to be a lonely old woman. And nobody wants that.
No. What a good word. Now you guys know what I was talking about at the beginning. When we first started talking about her black boxes on Instagram, she throws it out there. Whatever you just said a minute ago, like, take care of your baggage, women. Like, that's another black box. Like, yes, let's do. Okay. Let's wrap up with this. Again, not to keep going back to what I spoke on the other night, but it's fresh on my mind. And when one of the things I said that I think that we struggle the hardest with in friendship, and another one of the killers of friendship, is we don't know how to deal with conflict. Mm-hmm. And I had used the story of the paralytic and the four guys that carried him to Jesus and dug a hole in the roof. And I said, you know, sometimes we set the mat down too soon. Like, you know, we just kind of give up, we set the mat down. And I think one of the main mat setting down steps that we all do is that we just get offended. We don't confront, we don't let it go, we don't forgive. And I'm not talking about the big situations where we need boundaries. We all have those where you're just like, that's just not healthy. We need boundaries. But we're talking about the everyday stuff. And so I'm just wondering, give us a word on that. Do we confront? Do we let it go? Do we forgive? I know it's every situation's different, but how do we look at dealing with conflict?
You know, everyone is worth fighting for outside of unhealthy, abusive situations where we need to get out. But when I look at people and I realize like, oh, what they said to me hurt me, what they did hurt me, I realize like there have probably been times that what I've said has hurt someone and what I've done has hurt someone. And I wouldn't want that to be the legacy that I leave in their life. And so I have never regretted calling a woman or inviting a woman over or going to coffee with a woman who I needed to confront and saying, I'm so sorry that I hurt you, or when you said and did this, it hurt me. I have yet to have any scenario where I've done that, where the person has walked away and simply not forgiven me. However, mm-hmm. I have ghosted people and I have not done the reconciliation, and that has haunted me to a point where I don't have peace. And I think for a lot of us, the releasing someone in a healthy way brings good boundary, and it also allows us peace, whether that friendship remains or the friendship is released. One of the two scenarios. And so I want to encourage you women, communication is kindness. It's also holy. And a lot of us will avoid conflict because we don't want the pain, but I have experienced more pain and not resolving things than actually just confronting it head on and saying, I'm sorry, or you hurt me. Can we talk about it? So just remember, God is a God who reconciles. His whole heart mm-hmm. since the garden is that we would be reconciled first to him and then to one another. So he will be in that conversation, and I believe he will honor it when we are bold and brave to do the hard work of healing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had a conflict with someone that was resolved in the last couple of years. And I was like, gosh, I wish I was the person before she apologized to me that I am after she apologized. Like, be the person before they apologize. Like, okay. Just do the thing. And I just think that's probably a word for someone today. Maybe it's for me, for heaven's sakes. But like, if we knew the Lord was coming in the next few hours or few days, we wouldn't be over here. Like, if you're not going to be mad about it, if you know that Jesus is coming in 5 hours, then let's not be mad about it at all. Like, let it go. We're on mission. We got stuff to do, people. And so we need to resolve conflict well. All right, everybody. So Natalie's book is out. I Don't Even Like Women and Other Lies That Get in the Way of Sacred Sisterhood. And I'm just going to tell you that this is a way, getting this book is a way to support her. It's a way to support something that's so much greater than her, which is just this ministry of women coming together. We set the tone, ladies, for our homes, for our communities, for our marriages, like in our churches. And so this is just an important word. And I'm passionate about all the things that Natalie Runyon does, but I really love this one. And the book's just cool. The cover's cool. It's just cool all around. So grab a copy, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the places, right, Natalie?
Yep, that's it.
And okay, and then if you want to follow her, which you do, it's under Raised to Stay, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, Raised to Stay. Yes. You're not changing it to I Don't Even Like Women, are you?
No, we're going
to
keep it. We won't go that far.
Awesome. All right, friend. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, friends. I think this was such a helpful conversation, and I hope that it challenges you to consider your friendships and some that are going well and some that maybe need some improvement, ways that we can support each other and collaborate together. I just think this is a strong word that we need as women. And so I'm just thankful that Natalie was here. Again, I encourage you to grab a copy of her book, I Don't Even Like Women and Other Lies That Get in the Way of Sacred Sisterhood. And thanks so much for being a part of this podcast and showing up and joining me each week. If you would take a minute and leave a review, it would make such a difference. Help other people find us. And also, I read every one of them, and it's so encouraging. So you guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized community. You're the very best.
Hey. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.